in formulating a sermon using this framework. What if a minister tries it and he just or she not comfortable with it at all?
I would say to the person, anticipate that you're not going to be comfortable with it. Because anytime you try something new and you've been doing it a different way for a long time, you probably won't be comfortable with it. The question is not so much are you comfortable with it, but does it communicate well? And probably what you're going to have to find out is whether or not your people responded well to it. And it may have been you were nervous and it was different and whatever, but if your people said, that was very helpful, you know, I know what you're talking about, I know what you want me to do, you told me how to do it, I may do it, may not, but at least you communicated well. That's really the key question is not are you comfortable, but the key question is how are you communicating, and that's how I would try to get the reading from the people. But anything you do that's new, it's not going to be comfortable. It's going to take a while. And if I'm sitting in the congregation when you do it, and when you're all done, I will say to you, you know what? You seemed a little bit nervous, but I know what you talked about. I know what you wanted me to do. You told me how to do it. I've decided whether or not I'll do it. You told me how long it's going to take before this begins to be a part of my life. I liked it. You know, I'm applauding. So if nothing else, just say to yourself, well, Maines probably would have applauded. He would have said, good for you, good for you.
It's probably important for us to make a comment, not just in this podcast, but as we go through this whole process of sharing your lifetime of experience in this area, that in creating a framework or a method to make the communication effective, we're not at all setting aside the work of the Holy Spirit.
No, of course not.
In fact, we're relying on the Holy Spirit to empower the pastor as he or she works through this process every step of the way, from selecting the subject, looking for the response, talking about the how-to, and talking about how long before it becomes really ingrained in the people as they respond. All of that is a partnership with the Holy Spirit. The pastor
well
drawing on the Holy Spirit,
well
relying on the Holy Spirit, not simply in preparation and in preaching, but also in the way the people respond. That we are, in fact, as believers, partnering with the Holy Spirit in every aspect of the way we relate to Christ in this world.
Yes, very well said. So I would say that probably my interaction with the Holy Spirit is much more intense in coming up with the answer to those four questions, even than in delivering the sermon. Because once I know those answers, I'm home free. I'm representing the text well or the topic well. And getting up to preach it, that's the easy part. Because I know before I've gotten up, what I have to say is going to be helpful to people. It's been solved ahead of time. You know, I don't get up saying, boy, God, you're going to have to give me insight here because I don't know. I'm flying by the seat of my pants. I'm never in that situation. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the Holy Spirit has been there all through the process. And more so in my mind on those early stages than any other time.
Yeah, that seems to me to be so critically important. We've talked about how long in terms of a sermon. Well, what's the how long in terms to getting a pastor to make these changes we're talking about?
It's going to vary with people. I remember a story. I was in Kansas City, and I was speaking for there about 100 Salvation Army officers there, and I was doing it on preaching and went through all these things. And I got the idea, and I shared it with the commander when I first came in. I said, you've got me down for 5 sessions. In the 5th session, instead of me doing the preaching, I would like to get one of your officers to do the sermon. And as I'm teaching people how to do this, it will be wonderful to have that officer get up and put it all into practice so that instead of me being the one, he will give the thing. And the whole underlying subject was on evangelism that they were working with as Salvation Army officers. And I said, I've just been in prayer that the Lord will show me the right person to have do that. Well, the commander said, that's fine. It's not a problem if you don't speak. And he went along with it. Later, I had a guy come up after I had given one of my sessions, and he asked some questions, and I thought, he's asking good questions. Maybe he's the one I should ask to do the final sermon. So I said to him, you know, for the final session, instead of me preaching, I'm going to get someone else to preach, and you're asking good questions about evangelism. Would you be willing to work with me on a sermon for that? And he said, sure, be more than happy to. So I told the commander who it was, and he said, oh, man, he said, I wish you hadn't asked him. He is not a very good speaker at all. And I think that will be a downer for the last session. And I said, well, I've already asked him, and I'll do my best to work with him, and we'll see where he goes. And if needs be, I'll come up and give a cap to it or whatever. But it was kind of like, oh, is this going to work or not? So I got the fella aside, and I said, you're going to skip a couple sessions because we're going to work on this sermon for the final session. And he was wanting to talk about witnessing, which was on the evangelism theme. And so that was our subject. And the response was that he was going to prepare this sermon for his people at home. He could preach it when he went back the following Sunday. And it seemed like it was too much to ask them to all of a sudden start witnessing for their faith. So what he wanted, because he was a fisherman, he wanted them to experience the joy that comes when you get a couple of nibbles. Does that make sense? You know, the bobber goes up and down. You think, oh, boy, that's good. Your heart beats fast. Just, you didn't catch it, but you got a nibble. And he said, if I could get them to get a couple nibbles, that would be really good. And so I said, well, what's a nibble apart from your fisherman stuff? What would be a nibble? And he said, well, like Rose, she has a beauty parlor, and maybe what I could do would be to suggest that she put a card with a verse on a window, not a window, but the mirror, in her beauty parlor, and she could pray that maybe someone would say, what's that verse? And then she could say, that verse means such and such. That would be a nibble. And he had several illustrations like that. And I thought, that's wonderful. Those are good how-tos. And the beautician, if that's what she does, that's going to relate to somebody else. And so we got it all set and how long it would take before the nibbles would come in. So he thought if he could get in his congregation 3 nibbles in the period of 2 weeks, that would be a success for his sermon. So I said, okay, that's good. And we started to put the sermon together. And we had all of our answers down. And I said, well, we're going to start to talk about the joy of fishing, which, you know, but not fishing for fish, but fishing for, but he said he wanted to talk about the joy of fishing for real fish and the excitement that comes when you get a nibble or two. And then he would get into a set. Oh, that's perfect. So I worked on it. I said, you start to work on it, and then I'll meet with you. We met several times, and he had about a 20-minute sermon. Went from subject, the joy of getting a nibble or fishing, you know, and then how that relates to his congregation world, the how-to, how you might get a nibble, the cards and the beautician, and he had several illustrations, and then how long it would take. And I'm praying that this congregation in the next 2 weeks, we will have testimony from people that we had 3 nibbles. In the, so it was all the sequence was figured out. And he wrote it out, and it only took about 16 minutes to say it all. Well, that was fine. I said, you know, the truth is, if you preach a shorter sermon, they'll probably like it better than if you preach a longer one. Anyway, if you said everything you need to say, you don't need to say anything more. Oh, he was all happy, and he said, well, that's good. I'm very pleased. My people will like it. And I said, and I think the people here will like it as well. What do you mean, he said? And I said, the people here, you're going to preach that for the last session. And all of a sudden, he just turned totally white. Every bit of blood just drained total out of his body. He said, what do you mean I'm preaching? I said, no, I was explaining to you the final session. You will preach it. That's why I'm working with you instead of me preaching it. Oh, I never understood that, he said. Just, so now I said, well, he said, you know, they won't think it's very profound. And I said, oh, they'll think it's wonderful. It's no problem at all. You got a good sequence, you know. So anyway, I didn't have any more time to work with him, and he went away, and he wasn't at my last session, my fourth session. So I caught him, and I said, how are you doing? He said, look, I've added a bunch of stuff to it here. And he had probably 25 minutes worth. I said, everything you've added, take it all out. We're not going to use it. You know, because he needed to be deeper, he said. Mm-hmm. He said, it's not going to work. I said, no, it's perfect. There's no problem. And then I went through his manuscript. I was crossing all these things out. And I thought, oh, no, because he was highly intimidated. So I said, we don't have any more time. It's time for the session. You know, I said, I've worked on the service. I had a guy do a pantomime about fishing and getting a nibble and all that. And we had songs all related and everything. I said, we don't have any time, but promise me you won't add those things that you added in there because they detract from what you had. What you got is perfect. It's just exactly right. And so we went ahead with it. I'm sitting there thinking, oh, man, I think that guy who's the commander was right. I never should have gotten into this. So the text was read that set up the thing, you know, and he got up to preach, and he preached about 15 minutes. He was very nervous. And he got to the end, and he said, what I would expect, you know, from my congregation is that within 2 weeks we could have reports back to me and get testimony of three nibbles, and I would be very pleased because that would be different for my core. They call them cores, not churches. And he said, I'm thinking that for your congregations that would be good as well because we haven't had nearly enough nibbles in our core. And then he realized he was all done. And so he stopped, and then he went and sat down. And when he started to go to sit down, the entire group of 100 officers broke out in applause. And it was just like it raised the hair on my head because they were saying, that is really good. Now, if you had asked him and he had gotten no feedback, he would have felt very awkward about the whole time. And he probably said, I never preached like that. That guy made me do what I did. And I don't. I'm usually much better than that. But it was wonderful.
Profound.
Yeah. But you know, and the commander came up to me later. He said, that took a lot of guts to do what you did. But he said it was wonderful. Now, later, Dean, this is the end of the story. I got a letter from his wife. He's in a little tiny town outside of Kansas City. And she said, I don't know what you did, but my husband has recovered the joy of preaching. Which, wow. I mean, that's phenomenal, isn't it? And then the cap of the whole thing was later the commander wrote to me and he said, guess what? He said, so-and-so, I can't remember the officer's name, but he said, I've invited him to come to Kansas City. I have a large group of people. I've invited him to come and preach his nibble sermon. So he even won the commander over. And I thought to myself, we're communicating. This is good. Subject, response, how to, how long. Three nibbles in 2 weeks.
Well, that's a perfect example. The power of effective preaching, partnering with the Holy Spirit. And so what are we going to talk about next?
Let's look at the life of Jesus and whether or not he, I know he didn't follow my four questions, you know, he's bigger than that, but I'd like to look at least some of his sermonizing and say, what do we learn from him?
Very good. Join us next time, won't you? The Sermon Coach Podcast, and you can find all kinds of very helpful resources at our website, sermoncoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. Thanks for being here. Come back, won't you?